Jesus, the night before he was crucified, he spoke to his disciples and he said many things that were disturbing to them. But yet Jesus also spoke to them and told them, do not dismay. Let not your heart be troubled. He made them some promises. And he went on to explain to them, I'm not leaving you alone. I'm sending someone who's going to help you, who's going to be there for you, who's going to be with you, around you, in front of you, behind you, everywhere, for you. The wonderful counselor, the Holy Spirit. And then he explained to them some of the things that the Holy Spirit would do for them and in their lives. He said, the Holy Spirit will teach you. He will guide you. He will remind you of everything that I've said to you. He'll bring to memory. He'll bring all things back to me so that you may understand, so that you may then live the way you're supposed to. He's going to lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is going to do so much for you. And then, of course, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is give us the gifts of the Spirit. Powerful, just ability, only that can only be found in Him in our lives. Supernatural, divine. God working in our lives in a specific way, in each and every one of us personally, so that His will in the whole universe may be done. And you have a part in it, a special part, a unique part. Because while you may have the same gift as other people, you have a unique part to offer. Because you have to offer yourself, and there is no one like you. Did you tell the person next to you, there's no one like you? There's no one. God broke the mold when He made you, right? And you may be a person that has the gift of teaching, and here's another person with the gift of teaching, yet they offer teaching in a totally fresh and different way because they offer it through their personalities. They offered it through themselves, and they offer themselves in it. So as we talk about these gifts, and just keep that in mind, of course, we have mentioned that, and the Apostle Paul mentions these, and the ones that are mentioned in Romans chapter 12 are the gifts that are known as the motivational gifts. These are the gifts that drive your life. One of these seven gifts that are mentioned here drives your life and everything you do. While you may have the gift of service, and that drives your life. That means that everything you do, when you give, when you teach, when you exercise mercy, when you do whatever you do, it's driven by your gift of service. If you're a teacher or if you have the gift of teaching, everything and anything you do becomes a lesson in life. When you serve, when you are merciful with somebody, when you exhort somebody, everything becomes a lesson, right? Because you're driven by that gift. And you guys have heard me say this like 20,000 times. You'll be able to teach the gifts of the Spirit when the gifts of the Spirit. Got to delete that S there. That doesn't sound right. It ain't right, right? But let's just go to Romans chapter 12 and read once again. But let's start in verse 3. I'm reading out of the New American Standard. It says, for though the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, there you go, talking about function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. We're going to concentrate on the gift of giving today. But also, I want to call your attention to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it also speaks of these gifts. And starting in verse 1, we're going to read a few verses, I'm going to skip, but let me show you something. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, or no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It starts with salvation. It starts with having the Spirit within you. You cannot. You see, he's making a preamble to what he's going to talk about. He's going to talk about the manifestations of the gifts here in chapter 12. But before he does that, he wants to make sure that you understand, you can't be a pagan and claim these gifts. You have to be a Christian. You have to have the Holy Spirit within you in order to be able to say, I have this gift from the Spirit or whatever. And then in verse 4 it says, now there are a variety of gifts but the same Spirit, and there are a variety of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects but the same God who works all things in all persons. But each one is given the manifestations of the Spirit for the common good. You see, and then he starts talking about the different manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. You see, that's why we make a little difference between the list that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 right there and the list that's in Romans chapter 12. We talk about the motivational gifts when we see all the gifts that motivate and drive our life in Romans, but here we talk about the manifestations of the gifts. And we'll skip to verse 11 because we're not going to discuss all of this right now, but let's skip to verse 11. But one and the same Spirit work all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. So he wills, he gives us, and we ought to exercise them, right? But there is the gifts. And let's talk about the gift of giving today. It is he himself who decides and gives us the gifts. Now, we talked about the gift of prophecy. And we said that the motivation of the gift of prophecy is to what? For righteousness. The person with the gift of prophecy wants to see righteousness in life. And we saw that the person who exemplifies this is what? Who? Peter. Peter with the gift of prophecy. How about the gift of service? What's the gift of service? What is the whole goal about the gift of service? It's to what? To cover a need. And who did we mention that had this gift? Timothy? Y'all don't remember. Man, I've been repeating this stuff every single Sunday. You guys are not helping me. Are you guys just so astounded of what you're listening that you're just like in awe, right? Yeah, that's all. Oh. Amen. Hallelujah. How about the gift of teaching? Anybody remember who had it? Yeah, we can say that Luke. Remember Luke? Luke, we talked about his writings and how detailed and everything is of teaching, and he wants people to know things. And the idea of teaching is to impart knowledge, to give people knowledge, right? You teach to give knowledge. But then the next gift that we explained was the gift of exhortation. And this is to what? To encourage us to what? To grow. You see, you exhort somebody with the intention of them growing in the faith. And we saw that the example in this gift was Paul. There we go now. You got it. Amen. Hallelujah. What we're going to talk about, well, we talked also about the gift of leading, right? The gift of leading. And we said that there was a man in the Old Testament who led. Who was he? Nehemiah. All right? Nehemiah. All right. Let's talk about the gift of giving. Let's go there. That's what we're going to talk about today. All right. So no matter what you do, these are the gifts that drive you to do what you do in life. Now, who do you think in the Bible may have this gift of giving? Let me give you, of course, man, Jesus had them all. Amen, hallelujah. Yes, but there's one of the gospel writers, when you look at his writings, he's the one that speaks of how to give, what to give. He speaks a lot about giving. Starts with an M. Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew speaks a lot about and remember, he was a tax collector. So he dealt with money and collecting. Now God transforms him and he should be the opposite. He's a what now? A giver, hopefully, right? So you think about that. God works in that way. Hopefully, whatever you used to be, you're the contrary of that. The opposite. Amen. Hallelujah. But you see, in the Gospel of Matthew, there's more talk about possessions and money and treasures than any other gospel. And it's the only one that details what to do and what happens with these treasures that Jesus has given us. Actually, he also is the only one that has the details of the gifts that were given to Jesus when he was born, which were gold, myrrh, and frankincense, right? So he's the only one that mentions that thing. He talks about what you give in secret, you know, will be rewarded publicly. What you give publicly will be rewarded secretly. He speaks of giving in different terms, and he even speaks, he's the only one, apart from the prophecy in the Old Testament, he tells us who sold Jesus and for how much. 30 pieces of silver, Judas Iscariot sold Jesus. So he's got all that monetary and stewardship concepts into his gospel. So you can tell that he's good at this. You all right? Probably he's good at giving. Now, some people say that Judas was like the treasurer, right? Because he was fighting over the perfume that was spilled and everything, but everything. Maybe he was the one that carried a bag of money of Jesus's followers or whatever, but you can see that Judas was not the example anyway, but we see that in Matthew. But let's go and see some of the characteristics of a person that has the gift of giving. What are the characteristics of this person that has the gift of giving? And it is important that we make clear that you don't have to have a lot to have the gift of giving. A friend of mine and I were talking about that this week, that you don't have to have a lot of money in order to give a lot. You think about it. You don't have to be a millionaire in order to have the gift of giving. You can be the poor of the poorest and still have the gift of giving because you're willing to give it. You see, the gift of giving is not in what you have, but your desire and your attitude towards giving, which is totally, totally different from having a lot of money. You know a lot of people that have a lot of money and they don't have the gift of giving, right? So it does not, that's very important. It's not about how much you possess, how much you have, or being rich. It's about, are you willing to give what you have and sacrificially get rid of it, right? All right, so, but let's look at some of the characteristics. First, the person has an ability to see resources. This is a person that they see resources. They think of things and they think, well, we can do this, we can do that, we can do that, and we can save money, or we can get money out of this, we can get money out of that to do that and this and all of that, right? And they're wise when it comes to spending their money. They're wise when it comes to making purchases and things like that. Well, if I buy this, then I need to know how much it costs and everything. They're always mindful and thinking about, if I do this, how is it going to contribute to the kingdom of God? They always have this ability to see resources where others don't see them. I know some people like that, where I would think about when we were doing the construction, I could see that in some people. They think, well, let's do this and that and that. And I'm like, well, if we do this and that and that, we'll save some money and we can do this. But oh my goodness, I didn't see that. And it seems so simple and so logical. But some people with the gift of giving, they just see resources like that. Now, let me ask you something. Have you ever seen somebody like float or just like on a cloud or anything, or like, because there's some people that float around the malls. You know, I'm talking about the people who spend a lot of time at the malls every weekend. They just got to go to the mall and things like that. They just got to go shopping. They just got to be at a shopping center somehow, some way. Things like that, right? And it's like hanging out at the mall. And they just, you seen them? Have you ever seen people like that? Yeah, because you've been there. All right. Because you're floating out there in the mall. No, I hope not, right? But what I'm talking about is whether they have money or they don't, they're going to go out to the mall anyway. They say, I'm going window shopping until they pull out their credit card. They were window shopping until they got in debt, right? All of a sudden. Or they came back with an empty purse or things like that. They see something and they want it. Well, there's some people who just like hanging out at malls and stuff like that. What do? Well, let's go for a walk. Where do we want to go? Well, let's walk at the mall because it's air conditioned. Let's do some exercise. And you end up in the food court, right? You know what I'm talking about? That's the kind of stuff that some people do. I don't have any of those people in here, I'm pretty much, but you know. Now, let me tell you something. Here's what you do. If you, a person with the gift of giving will do this, will do something like this. Go to the mall. They don't want to spend money. They just want to walk. They'll leave their credit cards and their money at home, and they'll walk in with the license only in their pocket. See how much that's going to buy you? You're going to walk on the mall, you're going to walk in and out, back and forth, up and down, and you're never going to get jacked. You're not going to get in debt or anything like that, right? So you think about it, but that's all of a sudden your feet are right planted on the ground. You're not floating anymore when you realize that. But you see, some people don't understand that you have such power of persuasion. Did you know that? You have a lot of power of persuasion. You can go out there and say, I'm not going to spend anything. I'm just going to go window shop. I'm just going to go for a walk. I'm just going to look at things. But, you know, they make everything sparkle at the mall, right? Everything is so bright and so beautiful and so nice and so cool. And you go out there and you say, I'm not going to spend any money. I'm not going to spend any money. But then you persuade yourself. The store doesn't even have to do the job. Well, it's on sale. If I don't get it now, I'll never get it. They are never going to bring it down from 50% off. Well, I can put it on my credit card. Wow, you start thinking of all these things. Ooh, so-and-so has one of these. I want one of these. I like one of these. I saw this and I really like it now. And you just keep persuading yourself, and next thing you know, you give in. The person with the gift of giving usually doesn't fall into those kind of traps because they're thinking what they can do with all of that. They persuade themselves in a different way, right? They always try to find where to give, and they want to give all the time. And they find resources. They're very cautious about finding them and identifying them and everything. For example, we had that happen during the trip to Peru. We were thinking about ways to raise some funds. Well, guess what? We did a garage sale, didn't we? Everybody went and emptied their garages and attics, I hope, and if you haven't, that was a great idea. And we worked really hard and we did it. You know how much money we raised in that garage sale? $1,630. We still had a whole bunch of stuff left over that we had to give away to the thrift store or something like that, right? But it was because we had some people that had an idea and became resourceful and said, go home and pick in your garage, pick in your attic, see what you can find, go to your shed, bring what you don't want, bring that tool that's been sitting there for 4 years that you've been saving just in case you need it. Just bring just in case, all that just in case. And all that just in case brought $1,630 that we used for the mission trip in Peru. You see, that's what I'm talking about. They find stuff like that. But also, they desire to feel part of the work. They want to feel a part of the work of the kingdom of God. They just don't want to give, they want to be part. That's part of their being part of the kingdom. They want to be part of the kingdom with giving. Some people want to be part by serving. Some people want to be part by going and doing. But some people just want to be part by just giving. That's enough for them. Some people say, well, I'll give, but I want to go. Right? Well, that's great. That's awesome. You see, I'm going to tell you something. We went on this trip to Peru, and the gifts of some of the people in here were extraordinary, were awesome, and helped do things over there. They didn't go on the trip. They weren't able to go on the trip for whatever reason, but they were able to say, you know what? I'm going to give anyway. While some people that may not be so giving may say, well, if I'm not going, I'm not giving. When I go, then I'll give. You know what I mean? And some people don't care who does it or who goes or whatever. They just want to give. Those are people that start, you need to evaluate yourself if you're like that. Maybe you do have the gift of giving. You want to feel part of the work, and you do it through your giving, and that's okay, and that's enough for you. And it's, you know, it's one of those things that their hearts don't follow money. Their money follows their heart, which is okay because, you see, but they have the heart set in the right place. Because some people say, well, show me your checkbook, right? Show me your bank statement, and I'll tell you, you know, whether you're a giver or not or where your heart is. But at the same time, these are people that, you know, their heart is in the right place, is in the kingdom, and their money follows that. Because God has gifted them in that area and has led him to give abundantly and in a measure greater than a normal Christian. All right. Also, they desire to give quality things. They don't like to give just anything, you know. The people with the gift of giving, they just don't give you anything just because. They're the ones that when they go to your birthday party, they struggle to find something that you may like, something that's of value, something that you would appreciate. They just don't give you anything just because it means something to them. They want it to mean something to you, right? And that's very, it becomes personal to the person with the gift of giving. They want to give something that's going to make a difference, something that's going to be significant in their hearts, not just because of the amount, but it's going to be valuable to the person, something that's going to be worth. And think about this. The next time you give a gift, your gift represents your heart for that person. Your gift says a lot about you and how you feel about that person. You know what I mean? When you love somebody, you want to give them your best, right? Hopefully you love Jesus. Think about that. When you give a gift, when that person opens the gift and sees the little card and says your name on it, watch their reaction. It represents you, whatever you give. Wow. Think about that. Take that to the bank. Amen. But you see, so in Spanish, in Hispanic culture, we talk about a person who is stingy is a person who walks on his elbows. Have you ever heard that expression? You see, when a Hispanic goes like that to you, that means you're stingy. Yeah, if you ever see a Hispanic go to you, oh, man, bro, that means you are stingy, right? Some people give with their elbows, right? Some people give with their hearts. So that's what I'm talking about. Do you want me to give you with my elbows? Nobody wants elbows. Everybody wants hearts, right? So you think about that. But some people don't just walk with their elbows. They give with their elbows in everything they do, right? So you think about that. You understand that people are going to measure your appreciation for them or how much you love them or whatever by the gifts you give them, if you give them gifts. If you don't give them any, then you know. But you see, the idea is that the person with the gift of giving also has a hope that their gift is an answer to prayers. The person that has a gift of giving loves it when somebody says, you know what? God answered my prayer through you. And they just get tickled in their hearts because they know that God used their gift to bless someone. You see, they get all happy. That's their greatest joy. Just to know that God blessed somebody through their gift, that's it. You made their day. You made their decade. Simple. The person with the gift of giving feels like that. You see, they're very, very careful, and they're always on the quest to see needs. And when they see them, it gives them great joy to know that they're able to participate and give. And then when they hear somebody thank somebody or say, I thank God because God provided this, even if they did it in secret, oh my God, the joy in their hearts they can't contain. Because that's what moves them and drives them in life. They know when God places in their hearts to give something to somebody, they don't want to hear any objections. And God usually uses these kind of people to be able to see needs. They kind of have this drive to discover those needs. And they surprise other people without people asking, and they give, right? Have you ever been a recipient of a blessing, of a financial blessing from somebody before you even asked or said anything? I have, numerous times. I can give you some names in this church of some people who I have prayed for a need, and without me telling them, the need was covered. I'm like, oh my God. Now, I don't have the gift of giving, I would think, when I compare myself to some of these people that I know, but yet I get a joy when I'm able to help and contribute. And then actually, I like to be around with people with the gift of giving because it motivates me. And we're going to talk about that a little later. So let me not get ahead. So this is very important. You see, in the person with the gift of giving, not only is looking for needs to cover like that with the giving, but they don't even have to know about a need. They just want to give anyway. They want to do something about it. You see, because they give it out of their heart. They're convinced. They're convicted to be giving even when it's not asked of them to give. But they get all happy when they know that they asked, that somebody was asking for a need and they were able to provide it. And of course, like I said, that's the greatest joy. They're not looking for recognition. They're not looking for credit. They're not looking for the applause. All they do is, I want to be obedient. I just don't want to keep anything that God doesn't want me to keep. I want to make sure that if God doesn't want me to keep something, I want to give it away. I want to make sure that I don't keep whatever's not mine. Because once God places something in your hands, most of Christians have the tendency to think, God bless me. Thank you, Lord. But we have to think in terms, hello, God bless me, maybe to bless others. But the person with the gift of giving, immediately, that's one of the first thoughts that pop in their minds. An automatic thought, you know, boom. Maybe God wants me to give this to somebody. Maybe God wants me to help somebody. God bless me so that I can be a help. And that's a constant thought in their minds. So, not because they want the praise, of course, or the credit. But even Matthew said, you know, those who give in public, you know, those who ring their bells and make all that kind of noise when they give, they already have their reward. All that noise they made, all that racket they made, that's their own reward. But those who give in secret, then they'll be rewarded. Amen? So that's important to know. So don't forget that you cannot, even if you have the gift of giving, be careful, because you don't want to get too proud about giving. You can't outgive God anyway. So that's one thing to have in mind. Always remember that. Now, also, they have a desire to give secretly. Once again, They just don't. They're not looking for people to give them recognition. They like to give without telling the person or without telling anybody that they gave and ask for nothing in return. Now, that doesn't mean that people shouldn't know when you give. Because once again, we can motivate each other when we give. For example, when we were building this building, we tried to motivate one another to give. And one of the things that we did was that I got together with the leadership and I told them, let's do a campaign and let's see if we can raise $1,000 per family. And they're like, okay, who has $1,000? And of course, I would be the first one to say, I don't have it, but I promise I will give it. And even if it's on a $20 increment for a year, I will. And guess what? Each and every time, of course, as a pastor, I always told them, I'm the example. One year we said we did it, and a lot of people came together. We paid for the building. We paid it off, the old building. Then the second time we tried to do something like that, we paid for the land. But yet it started getting so good, and we were excited, that I said, okay, who can give $2,000 now? And, of course, everybody looked at me like, what? I gave $2,000. I didn't have any of this money. But I said, you know what? I want to give it. And I got motivated. And every single time I made that commitment, before my time was up, God allowed me to pay it early. Every single time, God allowed me to pay the money that I promised earlier than I was hoping or that I pledged. But I always went as an example up here and says, I'll be the first one. I'll go with 1,000. Who wants to join us? And not that I wanted to, hey, I'm giving 1,000. Look at me. I can give $1,000. No, I just wanted to see, can we come together? Can I motivate you? I'll be the first one. I'll join you. And that's the whole thing. But you need, so sometimes, even though you want to give secretly, but sometimes it's good to motivate others to give. And I'm getting ahead of myself with this motivating thing, right? So this is one thing. They like to give secretly because they expect their rewards by God anyway. And they don't care. And they know that God is a rewarder, but yet they're not counting on the reward to be the source of their joy. The source of their joy is in the giving, not in the getting. Even the Bible says that it's better to what? To give than to receive. There's got to be something in there when the Bible says that. Also, their preference to give without appeals. You don't have to go insisting on them. They hate it when people are just trying. These are the people with the gift of giving normally don't like to go on TV and hear all these people ask for so much money all the time. Right? I got to tell you. I went to a church in Costa Rica to visit, a big church with thousands of people who work with small groups. I wanted to learn the dynamics of small groups and everything, and I was told this church is just amazing in the way they do it, and they are. But then I started noticing different things. The first trip was okay. The second trip was not so okay. The third trip, I was like, what? They were doing things that were pretty out there. Now, here's one thing. The third trip I went to, every pastor that went and visited that church internationally, they assigned a host to you, and they would take you around. They would take you out to eat and back to the hotel, back to the church, and they would do all this hosting thing. It was really nice. But this time, they assigned to me a guy who'd been a gold miner with huge mansions everywhere, driving all luxury cars, three or four of them in their driveway. You know, this guy, he had a lot of money. And the problem was that when we came to the church and we sat down at the service, the pastor was preaching some message, and I noticed that people were getting up every so often and come over and give him some money. And the preacher was like, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. The deacons came over, emptied his pockets, put a basket, bless you, bless you. And I'm just kind of getting curious about this, so I didn't say anything, but I'm like, wow. And then on the next service, when I went with him, I sat next to him again, and I said, let me ask you something. Why are people going up there and giving when they already picked up the offering and the service and everything, right? Why are they? Oh, that's because every time they hear a word that personally God gives to you, you want to bless the preacher for it because that's the word of God for you, and it shall come to pass. And I'm like, oh, so now I got to pay the preacher to give me a personal word. I thought in my mind, but I didn't say it. I said, oh, okay. So that's their concept. Of course, it's not like I believe it, but of course, I stayed there listening to the message. And about 15 minutes later, I see that man pull out a checkbook and start writing a check. And I kid you not, it was at least like $3,000. I seen him already put a big check in the offering because he made sure that we saw his handwriting, you know? Pulls out the check, walks out to the front and just, you know, like, gives it to the preacher. Preacher's like, bless you. Put that one in his pocket. That didn't go in the basket. But anyway, some people notice, maybe or not. And I thought about it. And later on when we went to eat, I started talking to him, and he started telling me about his gift of giving. And I thought to myself, really? Gift of giving? Anyway, so it's not about how much you give. It's not about how much you have, or how much you show you can give. I don't know, secretly and without appeals or anything like that. That's what I'm talking about. Have you heard some of these people that go on air and say, well, if you don't send in your offering, we'll be off the air next week? You know what I say? Bye. Ask God. Pray to God. You don't need to tell me to give you because you're going to lose your ministry. You tell God that. That's God's ministry. He'll make sure he'll convict my heart to send you something. Amen? Now, of course, that doesn't mean when there's a need, you don't communicate it. Needs are to be communicated so that they can be taken care of within the body, you know, helping one another, giving to one another, and all that. But you have to be careful with these things. You have to pray. And the people with the gift of giving, it doesn't matter if they have a lot of money that they can splurge on and just throw money away or just spend it on whatever. They still, even if they have too much, according to my standards, even if they have so much and too much, they still don't like people to be putting pressure on them. And you don't have to twist their arms to give. And some people want to twist your arm into your pocket, right? See, you don't have to do that with a person to give to giving. You just pray. And God supplies all needs. God is the resource, or the source of all resources, let's just say, that we need. So if you know a person with a gift of giving, don't go at them every time. Don't go at them all the time. Because they're gonna know you. They're gonna find you out. They know. Don't put no pressure on them. Then they'll start being a little on you, right? So you might as well just leave it and pray. Now, next one. They understand that money can corrupt. You see, money is not bad, but you can get corrupted by going after money, right? See, it's not money that it's the root of all evil, like many people say. It's the love for money. And it's so easy to fall in love with money, even though they put a bunch of ugly dudes in it. Have you ever noticed that? That's a bunch of ugly pictures on our United States bills. Yet people fall in love with them. I don't understand. Well, it wouldn't be the first time you see, you know, ugly guys with beautiful women next to them, right? So, but they understand that money can corrupt if you allow it to. Money is just a tool, but you can use it to build or to destroy. Money is just a tool. There's some people that don't have much. And then they come to Jesus Christ and they repent and they come to saving knowledge of Jesus. And oh my God, they start obeying God. Even though they're poor, they start saying, I'm going to give you my tithe. I'm going to give you my offering. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to love on you like you love me. And I'm going to be so grateful that I'm just going to give and give and give to you in obedience. And you don't have to have much. And then all of a sudden, in return, God starts blessing that person. You see, this new Christian that just came to Christ with nothing, and all of a sudden they start living in abundance. I always remember one dear sister here that you all know, Mercedes. When she came to Christ, and she always reminded herself, when I came to Christ, I only had like 11 bucks in the bank. I was totally broke. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. I was totally down and out for the count. Lost everything. And yet she said, I came to Christ that Sunday and things started changing. And I said, God, I'm going to give and I'm going to be obedient. And that young lady made it through, didn't she? And she made out very well. Some of you know her. She used to be a member of this church. And she did very well. Found herself a good job. She was faithful at the job. She was faithful to God. Got herself a little house. Got herself everything she needed. And God provided her and gave her abundance. And I've seen that young lady give and give to the church. But then there are some people who experience that, and in the midst of their God's blessing, all of a sudden, they start saying, whoa, 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 whoa. Now I'm giving too much. Wait a second. When I used to make $100, giving $10, $10 is nothing. But now that I'm making $1,000, giving $100, $100 is a lot. But now that I'm making $2,000, giving $200, that's way a lot. But now that I'm making $3,000 a month, whoa, $300, you crazy. Well, now that I'm making $4,000 a month, you're kidding me. I got to give $400 a month. Oh, there's no way. That's way too much. A church don't need all that money. A pastor don't need all that money. Wow. You understand what I'm saying? But yet, when you look at the increments, you're giving the same, right? Ain't you? You guys know math. If you make 100, you give 10. And I make 10,000 and I give 1,000. Did we give the same? Yes, we did. It doesn't matter. It's all proportional. So you have to be careful that you don't get into that rut, right? And start becoming selfish and greedy. And you forget that, you see, some people start making money and start being blessed by God. And they think, oh, they gain power. Now I can buy. Now I can do this. Now I can do that and do that. And even if I get in trouble, I got money to get out of trouble. And money becomes their power source. Money becomes all of that. A person with a gift of giving, if they're walking in the Spirit, they'll never get to that point. But we have to be careful because money corrupts us and makes us think that we have power and we can get out of anything or do anything. It's a deception. We fool ourselves into thinking because when we didn't have anything, you see, and a lot of times we have to think, when we didn't have anything or when we were struggling financially, we were on our knees praying to God, God, provide. God, I don't know how I'm going to make it this month. God, stretch the dollar. God, do this for me. God, help me. All of a sudden, you start making money and everything going good. Oh, my God, I got to give what? Wait a second. And you see, a lot of times, that's the reason why a lot of Christians may be in a miserable and poor and bad financial situation. And God wants to keep them there. You know why? Because while I keep them there, they'll depend on me and start crying out to me. And I'll provide. But if I give them too much, that's it. They're going to trust that little ugly dude on that paper instead of trusting me. So you have to be careful with all this, because people, sometimes we don't realize who gives us the power to make wealth. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verses 16 to 18. In the wilderness he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. This is God telling Israel, you know what? I had you hungry in the desert. I made you walk for 40 years. But I provided you and I humbled you. You had to get on the ground to pick up what you were going to eat every day. Because I wanted you to depend on me. Because I wanted to give you good in the end. And then he says, otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. Verse 18, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who has given you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to you, to your fathers, as it is this day. See, he made a covenant with you. If you are a Christian, you made a covenant with God to surrender your life to him. And he made a covenant with you to just do everything he needs to do to help you live in the abundance and the eternal life that he promised. And he promised to provide. And you have to depend on him. And when you're handling your money in whatever way you want to, then that becomes your own power, your own way. And the blessing of God is not going to be upon you. Now, check this out, and this is just lanyap. I just thought about this because this is something that really intrigues me. Psalm 23. You remember how it starts? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Boom. Everybody knows that. How about the last verse? You remember what it says? Well, you're going to have to go through the whole psalm, right? Because you probably, some of you know the whole psalm, and you're trying to get to the last verse. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy will follow me all of the days of my life. Think about this. Goodness and mercy chasing you. Goodness and mercy chasing you. Chasing you. Some of us don't understand. God is chasing us with mercy and goodness. He wants to bless us. But we're running away from his blessing by becoming disobedient. You want to enjoy God's blessing? Let him catch up with you. Let him catch you. Goodness and mercy all over you. Now, check this out. Now, so you make whatever you make and you give God 10%. You already gave your 10%, you gave your tithe, so now you have 90% to do whatever you want, right? 100% belongs to God, not 10. Now he wants you to manage that 90% for his glory, not your own. Wow, that makes things different. I know we're talking about the person with the gift of giving, but this also applies to all of us, of course. We need to be careful because everything belongs to God. Remember, Deuteronomy says he's the one that gave us the power to make the wealth. He didn't give you power to make 10% to give him. He gave you power to make 100%. So therefore, you owe him for that 100%. So think about it. Just because you tithe and you give to the church your offerings from all of your heart and in obedience and love and gratitude, that doesn't mean that the other portion is for you to splurge or do whatever you want to do. So that's a lesson for us, right? And a lesson also to parents, if you think about it. Sometimes parents want to give their kids everything, and they say, I want them to have everything that I didn't have and all of those things, and we always hear about these things. But you know that when you give your kids everything, everything and everything and everything, because of that, you're sinning, because that is deceitful. That is not good. You don't want to give your kids everything. You're not teaching them a lesson there. What you're teaching them is that they don't have to work, they don't have to do anything. They become lazy. I know my parents made that mistake with me at an early age. But then when my dad lost 3 businesses and went bankrupt, that's when I started learning, oh, I can't depend on him anymore. Learned the hard way. You see, but that's a mistake that many parents make. That doesn't make your child wiser when you give him everything. That actually hinders them from wisdom. So instead of giving them too much, show them how to manage money, then observe them and see if they've learned. And then once they learn and they don't waste it, then give them more. And you'll bless them like that. They become obedient, right? So, and you don't want your children to become just simply too extravagant and with money and spend it all, or you don't want them to become lazy, right? So teach them to work and teach them to manage wisely. See, the person with a gift of giving does not allow the giving or the money to get in their hearts, you know, like that. They just don't allow that. They don't allow that. You should give out of the goodness of your heart, and you should give with a cheerful heart, but do not let money be the cheerful reason for your heart. Don't let that be the what drives your heart, the cheerfulness of having money. Just because you have, don't get too happy about that, but be happy in the what you do with it for the glory of God. So be careful. Now, people love to give sacrificially when they have the gift of giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. You've heard that many times, right? That's like a law. It happens. You give little, you get little. You give much, you get much. And the one who has this gift understands that, but they're not after the getting. They're always after the giving, right? So that's very important. And also, once again, at the end, well, they're motivated. They motivate others to give. People who give like that, they give sacrificially. They motivate others to give. When you see other people give, does that motivate you too? That's why I'm telling you. I've done that. I promise you. I'm telling you with all my heart. I've done this purposefully. I've been with people on purpose that are givers so that I can learn how to give and watch them at work. I have secretly done that just to see what it is that drives them, and I want to learn from that. And honestly, I've become a giver and a better giver because of my wife. Because before I met my wife, I walked on elbows and knees, bro. Ain't nobody could twist my arm into my pocket. I would not give anything to anyone, ever, ever. I was stingy. Then I became a Christian. And of course, before that, I met my wife. We got married. And in the first year before we became Christians, she's always been a giver. And I hated it. You don't have to give all that. Why you got to spend so much money on people? Why you got to give them that? You know, I was always fighting her. We'd go on vacation back to her country, and she wanted to send gifts and gifts and gifts and Nintendo after Nintendos and this. And I'm like, you don't buy all that stuff for them. Look at me. I'll go visit my family. I don't bring them anything. Here's your gift. Hello? My family knew not to ever expect anything from me except my beautiful and wonderful presents. Because I wouldn't give them anything else. They knew. Then I married my wife. And then I became a Christian. And then I started seeing her example, not as something to despise, but something to emulate. And then I learned to tithe and to give. And then I said, God, I owe you, because I became a Christian in November, and here's March, I haven't tithed a single dime, so here's everything. And I wiped out my bank account and told them, here's my tithe since I became a Christian. Now I don't have a penny to my name. I don't know what you're going to do, but that's it. And a week later, I got a check. Guess from who? The person with the gift of giving, Uncle Sam. I got a check from Uncle Sam admitting that they had made a mistake and that they owed me. And it was double what I had given God. Yes! That transformed my life, and I started saying, I need to be a giver. Now, once again, I don't claim to have the gift of giving, but I love to give and be around those who give, because when they do, I go home and I tell my wife, guess what I did? And she's like, what? So-and-so said he was going to give this, and I said, I'll give this. She said, you know we don't have it. I know. We'll see. And it works. God always works it around. Amen. Let me finish this thing up, because we've gone too far now. So people like that motivate. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each one must do as he proposed in his heart. Now, grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Right? So don't let anybody coerce you or persuade you or twist your arm into your pockets. Give liberally, and, you know, that's the way it should be. Actually, you should give obediently and generously. Obedience and generosity should be like something that sticks to people. Amen? But you see, the gift of giving reflects itself in the person because they have the ability to see the resources that nobody else will see. They desire fervently to use all the resources for the kingdom of God. They love to see somebody's answered prayers. You know, they love to be the answer to people's prayers when it comes to giving. They don't mind if they don't get the recognition or even the reward. They don't have to be persuaded. You don't have to fool them into giving. Love is sufficient for them to be moved to give. And they don't allow that to corrupt their hearts. No possession, no treasure gets into their hearts. They actually give it out of their hearts, and they sacrifice. Now, those are beautiful qualities. Now, do you know anybody with all of those qualities in one? Jesus. Just like you said at the beginning, Jesus. What a better motivation than to follow the example of Jesus. He gave everything because he loved us. For God so loved the world, right? That he gave. Everything that he does like that. But let me tell you something. There's three ways you need to be motivated to give. Number one, out of love. Because Jesus gave himself because he loved you. Number two, out of obedience. Jesus gave himself because it's not there, but it's on your paper, right? All right. It's not on your paper? Motivations to give at the end? You didn't get a paper? Oh my goodness. Well, you're right. Motivations to give. Number one, out of love. Number two, out of obedience. Number three, out of thankfulness or gratefulness. You got them? Love, obedience, gratefulness. Those are the three ways you should give anyway, even if you don't have the gift of giving. You give to God out of love. You give to people out of love because God loved you first. Number two, you give out of obedience because that's what you're supposed to do because he asked you to do that. Jesus did what the Father asked him to do. He said, I'm going to do your will, not mine. And number three, out of gratefulness, just because you're thankful. Because you receive, then you give because you're thankful. Nothing better than giving when you're thankful. Actually, gratefulness is the response. Gratefulness is always a response. You're not grateful first. You're always grateful after, right? Grateful is a response to something or to an act of kindness or love or anything else. So that's the way to give. That's the response that we should give God and everyone else. And if you really want to be thankful to God, then you got to respond in appreciation of what he did on the cross for you and give him your heart, your soul, give him your might, give him everything without looking back.